right at time for it to
start. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show, episode number 197 and the first show of 2020. This is Stephen Zimmer talking to you live out of Lexington, Kentucky. And joining me tonight for the show is the one and only the man behind the Dark Style hashtag, that is Daniel Dark. And it does look like indeed also hailing from a part of Kentucky, which I'll ask her in a minute. But I think R.G. Westerman is also with us, diving in at the last minute to help with a very ill Holly tonight. So that's you, R.G., right?
Yes, that's me. Can you hear me?
Yes,
yes,
ma'am.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, cool.
There you go. There you go. Well, welcome and Happy New Year to both of you. Yeah, because it's the first time we've had the show on, and great to kick off. We didn't have a show last week because we actually had New Year's. I think New Year's Day was the Wednesday, so that not a good day to hold a regular show. But I hope you all had a good one.
I didn't know it was the New Year's yet. I didn't know the Chinese calendar had changed. So,
yeah. Well, as they mark time around these parts, I guess. But I hope you all had a good one. Hope you all had a good one.
See, for me, it started on December 21st, so.
Nice. Yeah, we had a busy holidays trying to balance all the stuff for all the things we do, and then all the family, crazy family stuff. So, yeah, it was definitely a very, very busy and hectic time. But we survived and hit the ground running. Have a couple cool things to share, but I would definitely want to give RG some time to update us on her world, and then also Mr. Dark has some really cool stuff that got unveiled on New Year's Eve, and then to full scale that Friday, with the formal press announcements and all that. But we'll let RG, since you were willing to dive in at the last second, go ahead first and bring us up to date on your latest adventures, and then we'll go to Daniel and he can tell us all about his stuff.
Well, I am still working on the sequel, Falling Embers, for the sequel to Rising Ash. Hoping this time around I am going to launch it in time for Imaginarium. I've got my I've made a pinky swear with myself, so it's going to happen.
Very cool. Awesome. That I'm looking forward to that because, you definitely have talent, and I know that you're a hard worker and creative, and it's gonna be spectacular. So, and you got you don't have as long to wait either this year with it being in July. So,
yeah, I know. There's
won't be
four,
quite so long.
Six
yeah,
months
yeah.
Earlier.
Right. Yeah, it feels like that. Which
what?
But. You'll be joined by Daniel with new books because he's got one. Go ahead, Daniel. Tell him all about it.
Well, on New Year's Eve, we had a launch of the cover, the unveiling of the cover on New Year's Eve at midnight on Facebook Live. If you haven't seen that, you can go back and watch it. It's very boring. It's me talking. But, If you have a really boring life, you can have it even more boring with me talking on it. So, but then on the 29th, we will have the books available. And right now we are doing a pre-sale on the books on some website called Seven Star Blog. So if you go to Seven Star Blog, you can retreat, you can buy the books right now, and they will be delivered to you right after the launch of the book on the 29th. And that is the book Victims Tell. It is the victim's POV from Knife's Tale, the other side of the stories. And if you haven't read Knife's Tale, you can order that book, get it in, read it, and then have the other one come in on the 29th. And you'll be caught up with the dark style of a old man, you know, sits in a room and just does nothing. yeah, those are the two things that are happening right now. You know, that cover reveal and the launch and pre-sale of Victim's Tale. And if you haven't seen the cover yet, there is a publishing company that did the cover that did an excellent job on the cover of it. I can't remember the name of the publishing company right this minute, but you know, they did an excellent job.
Definitely one that demanded to be made, because it embodies your Victorian style and emphasizes, you know, a little bit. And I would point out too that if you're looking at that cover, the shadow figure actually is Daniel. So that actually was derived from a photograph of his. And so Daniel actually is on the cover of his own book, in a manner of speaking.
on both of them, actually.
Yeah, yes, that's true. Now we just have to do a special.
The one I'm not on is a ketchup book deal. So
right. Oh man, that's too good.
But I'm inside.
But I'm glad
book, so that's all right.
I am glad it worked out that way, because it perfectly fits you. And it's going to be a fun book.
And I will be doing as soon as I get the books in and everything, I'm setting up a signing in Franklin, Tennessee at one of the art galleries there. And then I'll be in Columbia doing a signing there at Battleground Cigar Shop. And then I've got another one that's going to be at another location that haven't really set it up yet. So we're trying to hit the ground running with this one and seeing what type of people are out there looking for a good, you know, children's book to read, you know.
Oh, man. Too good, man. Yeah, that's going to be great. And we will have a special Star Chamber show featuring you a little bit later this month. That'll be a fun episode, because we get to put you in the guest chair for that one. And I don't know who all is going to be co-hosting that night, but we'll definitely maybe RG can swing back in for that one. But that'll be a fun show. We get to grill Daniel Dark. And it'll be great.
Yeah.
Just make it a roast, you know.
Yeah, roast.
Yeah.
Now we'll take it easy on you.
Roast it at the stake, you know.
Yeah. Anything gets roasted, it's definitely pigeons, and that's a reference to Knife's Tale, your first book. For those of you that have read it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take it easy on you. Oh man, but we got a little bit of news. We're gonna acknowledge our sponsors, and then we'll go on to our featured guest tonight. But we had two little announcements today from the our convention front. You can, of course, get to follow along with the development of that on the show all year. But we did open up the 2020 Imagine Awards nominations today. So you publishers, authors, and official representatives can nominate books in a slew of categories. So we actually added a individual steampunk category has been added this year, and we do have anthologies of short story collections, And there is a short story category, so get on it. It's for books that were published in 2019, anytime between January 1st to December 31st of last year are eligible. So, just go check out the Imaginarium site, and you can fill out the form and nominate books and get them in, because nominations will be open until April the 17th. And it is a juried award, so like I said, it's gaining in reputation fast as a result. And it's definitely an emerging premier literary series awards. And so you definitely want to get in on the evaluations for that if you had a book come out last year. And then also launched on Facebook today is a special Imaginarium Forum, and that is a group where attendees and all people interested in it, people that maybe haven't come yet, just want to find out more and interact with everybody that is a part of Imaginarium, can join. It's a public guest group on Facebook called the Imaginarium Convention Forum. And, you definitely want to be a part of that. We just opened up today and already have a couple hundred new members. And so it's growing very quickly, and it's going to be a really good site for interaction with, among attendees, and people can meet each other in advance, and everything Imaginarium will be on there. So a lot of fun. And, shout out real quick to the chat room. We got Sandy Lender, Tommy B. Smith, RG's in there too, and of course the mighty Amy McCorkle. And she's fighting everybody's fighting a little health stuff. Sounding scratchy, I think. So I am too. If I sound a little nasally tonight, I apologize. I'm not immune to all the stuff going around here, but we will have a good show, by God. So here we are. But tonight's sponsors, we have two, League of Elder with Ren Garcia, and then our other sponsor is the one and only Sandy Lender. And so we'll go ahead and give Ren some time right now so you can find out a little bit more about him, and then we will go over and tell you a little bit about Sandy. So here's a little bit about Ren Garcia and League of Elder.
The League of Elder dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern, lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
Yes, Ren, we are definitely weird enough for you, and definitely great to have you on as one of our regular sponsors for the show, and make it possible here. And then we also have Sandy Lender. And so here's the first Sandy spot of 2020. Fantasy author Sandy Lender has stories for everyone, especially for readers who like dragons. Realms of Fantasy magazine positively reviewed her dragon-packed novel, Choices Meant for Kings, upon its release. The TimelessTeens.com went nuts for the critters in her Dragons in Space series. She's got 10 books available on Amazon so far, and she's not stopping. Check out the author page for Sandy Lender on Amazon.com to pick up a new favorite story. Again, Sandy Lender on Amazon.com, and that last name spelled L-E-N-D-E-R. And thank you, Sandy, for being such a great supporter of the show. And that pen count's going to definitely be going up this year, because he's got quite a lot rolling out here in 2020. And I can tell you, just from the my perspective, he's got quite a gem of one coming up that's in the YA category. That's all I will give you a hint about. It's a gem. And that'll be coming out pretty soon. So thank you, Sandy. And there we go. So let's see here. What have we got going on? Let's see if our guest is called in just yet. Not just yet. So we can still chat a little bit longer So RG, What mm-hmm. what are you going to be, as far as your series goes, what do you have going on, planned specifically with the new book release? So you're going to be doing a little bit of a reworking with it, or I'm assuming that you're also going to be giving it a new cover launch and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm hoping to. I'm definitely gonna want to relaunch the first one with new cover because I have four books in my head, so the trick is to get them out of my head and onto the page. but you know,
cool.
I want the covers to match, so I'll have to arrange that. I'm speaking with some sort of creative. Entity, I can't quite remember who, but I'm hoping to get that sorted in the next month or so. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, because I think that's gonna be an awesome series when you get all that on the ground running, and it's good to see you out firing this year.
Yeah, no, I've been sort of, because I'm a freelance ghostwriter, so I've been sort of like swamped under with that lately, so.
Time
man. If anyone knows any like special mojo, like if there's a time management voodoo doll that exists, like you know, put my face on it because I need some help with that.
Nice. Yeah, and once they share that with you, please tell me because oh my god, I do understand. I've been not as ghostwriting's not been killing my time as much as I've been. Doing a lot of editing lately and stuff like that. So, whatever you got going on. As far as advice, insights on how to manipulate time and space, definitely let me know that. And looks like we do have our guest. Our guest is, looks like our guest is in. And so I'm going to be going over here and we're going to be introducing our guest for you in just a second. So, tonight's guest, I'm actually really excited to have because we actually found out about tonight's guest through a dear friend of ours, that's Sally Ann Monty, who you know is gave such a great keynote speech at Imaginarium, and so we had the great fortune of finding out about our guest tonight on that and or through Sally Ann Monty, and we're gonna be able to talk about a lot tonight and. Our guest is, we're going to be talking about some serious, very serious subjects tonight. And because our guest, her book, Left Vulnerable, is a powerful account of her experience of being a victim of family incest and a response to it. And she also is the founder of the F Word Project to help others heal, move forward, and enjoy life. And so I'd like to introduce on the tonight's Star Chamber Show, first guest of 2020, Danica Borges. Danica, is that you?
Yes.
Come on.
Yay.
Oh,
thank
nice
you.
To have
thank you,
you
for having me. Thank you.
Absolutely. Great to have you. And we're very grateful to Sally Ann for alerting us about to you and so we could find out about all you about what you do.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, Sally Ann is a true trooper and part of my tribe sisterhood. So she's an amazing person.
Yes, I think she's en route tonight to Costa Rica, I believe I saw on her Facebook page. So
yeah, life is hard, isn't it?
Little,
life is very difficult for little, her.
Yeah, a little fun in the sun. So, yeah, definitely wishing her a good time. And that's certainly the way to kick off a new year. But we're glad to have you to be our first guest of 2020. And so this is your first time on our show. And so probably the best thing to do would be to have you tell us, just give us a little background on yourself and beyond, maybe what I already talked about, and we can get our discussion underway.
Okay, well, I am actually the founder and CEO of the F Word Project, and it's a platform that we have on our website as far as social media is concerned. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and what we do is we gather stories and experiences regarding forgiveness in hopes that if people talk about forgiveness more, that they will adapt it to their everyday life and learn how to extend the olive branch as well as learn how to receive it. And if we can get more people forgiving, then maybe we won't have as much stress, heartache, and estrangement from people that we love. So that's the goal with the EFFORT project. I was in law enforcement for 11 years after graduating from college. Went from law enforcement to opening up my own business, and from opening up my own business to going back to school and getting my PhD in human sexuality. And human sexuality has pretty much always been a part of my life. So I decided while I was finishing up school that I would go ahead and write my book. And my book is called Less Vulnerable, and it's my memoir on how I dealt with my sexual trauma regarding incest by my older brother from the ages of 5 through 17.
Yes, I was familiar with the book, and definitely a very powerful topic, and definitely want to explore that a little bit more with you. But I also was really intrigued by the kind of response that you had, and then the fact that it led to, the F Word project, and that's what, really, I think, is very fascinating to me, is that a lot of, I didn't go through what you went through, but at the age of 2, I actually did had to deal with a violent daycare worker, and I had my skull fractured in an act of violence, and I had to get a craniotomy and nearly died at the age of 2, and had to wear headgear, head protection up until I was about 12. And so, I know a little bit about, about the anger side and things that can happen, from, some kind of trauma or, bad experiences that happen to you and, things when you're young and, as you grow older. And I just think, when I read your story, I was just fascinated about how positive of a response that you had, with the, embracing, the forgiveness were you able to cross into that positive bridge from such a a horrific experience? I guess that's probably.
I think when we deal with trauma and trauma with children is a very toxic situation, because children have a tendency to really take that trauma and run with it. And we identify with our trauma. So it really harms us and carries us throughout our lives. But I began to have empathy, and empathy in the sense that I could be empathetic to my brother and his struggles, because even though he actually performed the sexual assault, the abuse was also family related. Here's a young man, 15 years old, trying to raise 2 younger siblings and take care of an elderly grandmother. We had no parents at the time. My mother was nowhere to be found, and I personally didn't know who my father was. And so here he was thrown into adulthood. And I think he had a lot of questions about human sexuality, and I think he had a lot of questions about puberty. And what started off as probably just touching me and curiosity turned into such violence towards the end of my living in the same household with him. And anger that he had built up, because, again, he was experiencing his own anger not having parents to go to as well. So he was just thrown into the manhood role. And I began to empathize and really relate. And also, the same person who was molesting me was also the person who was providing for me. So I had a really mixed reaction. I had a very mixed reaction.
Oh.
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, you broke up just for a second.
I had a very mixed reaction to him, because here on one hand he's sexually assaulting me, but on the other hand he was also my provider. He clothed me, he fed me, he made sure we had shelter, and that was very confusing to me as a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, imagine that. Yeah, that especially. Yeah, because that you couldn't really get away from the situation either, I'm guessing, as far as, you didn't have any real options. Yeah. So that's got to be tough. And but as you got older, like I said, what kind of things kind of entered the equation as far as kind of making that turn toward the positive side? As once you got a more adult perspective, or as you got out of that.
Well, I think it started when I was in high school. I started to surround myself with coaches and really taking into account having friendships and relationships with my coaches and my peers and my teammates, and they gave me a different sense of familyhood. Although it wasn't my biological family, it was still my family. And then I went off to college and decided that if I was going to be a functional adult, I had a choice to make, and that choice would be to find some way to heal from my trauma, or it would literally kill me. Because even though this trauma happened to me, if I didn't handle it and I didn't take care of it in a positive manner, it would spew on to other people, friends, other relationships. And so I had to hold myself accountable. I wasn't to be blamed for what happened to me as a child, but it was my responsibility to take care of what was going to happen to me in my adulthood. And I had to make that really difficult decision. And that's when I turned the corner.
Wow, yeah.
And one of the people in our chat room was asking real quickly, if you don't mind sharing this, approximately what year's decade was the abuse taking place as far as time?
I was born in 19... Gosh, he's asking me. I just turned 50, so this was happening in the early to mid-70s, and I was born in 1969, so it was in the 70s when it started.
In the 70s. Yeah, because the reason she was asking, she explains that society has been blind in different ways during different decades. And as far as, you know, and I guess today, you know, more people are aware of abuse situations. And I think that's what she's referencing. Yeah, you know, that's not, you know, not, it was more blind or more of a topic that was not talked openly about back, you know, approximately then.
Yes, very much so. I lived in I come from a Hispanic culture, so in my culture, children were seen and not heard, and you didn't go and talk to your teachers. What happened at home stayed in the home, and that's the way our family addressed it.
Okay. But go ahead. Is that you, Daniel?
Yeah. Yeah, also, you know, at that time period and everything, we didn't have, you know, these, even though we're in the middle of the sexual revolution and stuff like that, we didn't have the opportunity for a child to feel comfortable talking to anybody about anything that happened, much less, you know, something that horrific that, you know, happened to you. You know,
that is so true. That is so true, because at the time, you didn't think that it was happening to other people. You just the shame and the misunderstanding that I had of what was going on, there was no outlet for. And you know, we never addressed this at all. Not in schools, not on TV, nothing. So I just assumed that this was something that just happened in my household. And it wasn't until I left school and I became much more involved in human sexuality that I realized that it happens to more people, both men and women, from all over the world, and it wasn't just happening to me, or it hadn't just happened to me.
Yeah. That is a true fact. A lot of people, you know, have had, you know, similar but different situations happen to them that nobody ever knows about. And the organization that you started is an outlet for them to feel safe about coming to and, you know, delving into that part of their life.
I'm really, actually really proud of the F Word Project. It's been my labor of love now for 2 years. It just launched. I think we're in our fifth month, but our stories that we're collecting about forgiveness, they really are extremely broad. They're from molestation to divorce to child abandonment to coming out and being gay stories. So it is a broad spectrum, and I hope that your audience would definitely take a look at our website and our Instagram account and possibly even want to share their stories, because I truly believe the more we realize that we're more alike than we are different, the more we're able to progress as a culture and as a society, and most important, as a country.
Yeah, I was talking to a young transsexual just a few weeks back, and his father, when he came out, his father just totally disowned him right then and said, "You're not a son of mine," and kicked him out of the house and kicked him out of the business and everything else.
That's a lot of anger. It's a lot of anger there. And, you hope and you pray that with time and a heck of a lot of faith and hope and love, that you're able to mend those fences. And part of forgiveness isn't just about speaking to your father, like your transgender friend. It's not just speaking to the father. It's more about him and him being able to let go and feel that even though he may not speak to his father, that he can grant his father forgiveness so he can move forward and he can progress in his own life. Because that's wonderful.
He has done that, but it's his father that can't do it.
Yeah,
and
it's really sad.
He feels that, grateful for everything his father did for him, but, he's had to go on and say, okay, if you don't want me in your life, I will not be in your life. And that, that's a hard thing to do, is, not be in somebody's life that you've loved all your life.
Exactly. It'll floor you, because sometimes the feedback I'm getting from the Effort Project is, oh my God, it's such an easy solution. But unless you're in the midst of it, you really don't understand that it's not as easy as it appears, because you are dealing with people's emotions and packaging and experiences and memories, and sometimes those are extremely deeply rooted.
Mm-hmm.
So, and forgiveness isn't just the final act. It's something that you do on a daily. We have events where maybe road rage, or the barista at Starbucks didn't get our order correct, or we're on the phone a little too long waiting for customer service, and we're agitated and we take it out on the person on the other end. And so we're tested on forgiveness on the daily. And I believe the cream always rises, and we have to practice that skill set. It's like building a muscle. It's like a language. If anyone goes on our website, it'll say, join me in becoming fluent in forgiveness, because forgiveness is a language and you have to practice it every day.
Yep. I agree with that.
That's and I'll point out just to our listeners, if you happen to be online while listening, that's fwordproject.com. F as in Frank, fwordproject.com. And that's definitely check that out if you happen to be listening and surfing at the same time, which is perfectly okay. But as opposed to drinking and driving, which is not okay. But
exactly.
But anyway, but
unless you're driving while you're there surfing and listening, then that's not okay.
Right. right. But what kinds of activities do you do? Is it primarily an online initiative, or are there live get-togethers like locally around where chapters and things like that, or how does it work, the F Word Project?
Well, because it's so new in the process, what we do is I gather stories from people of all walks of life, and we take their stories, and then I go ahead and edit the stories, and we get a picture from them. And what ends up occurring is I have this amazing team that goes in and edits photos and helps me with editing and some of the other logistics of putting things on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And then we go ahead and launch it, and our stories come out on Mondays and Fridays. And on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, Saturdays, we get quotes from people from all over the world, from the Dalai Lama to Tyler Perry to Johnny Depp, in regards to forgiveness, and we go ahead and we launch them on those off days. On the days that we post the stories, you'll see a compelling black and white photo, and then you'll read the story, and within the story is a photo of the actual person. And this is a really grassroots movement. So if any of your listeners are interested in sharing their story, I invite them to participate, because the more we can share these stories with others, we realize that we have so much commonality, because there's so many. Our latest story that we that we ran on Tuesday was about foster care and child abandonment. And the feedback we're getting from that story has just been detrimental to opening up discussions about our foster care system and what we do with our children in this country.
Wonderful. And, definitely, I think that's great. And we do actually, I wish Holly wasn't sick tonight, because Holly actually does have experience directly with definitely can relate to what you've been through, and definitely would have a story to share in that area herself. But yeah, there's definitely plenty of listeners that we have that I personally know that have some, I think, powerful stories to share, and also who I feel have responded in very positive ways as well. So I think, yeah, definitely there's some listeners I think that could contribute for sure. And Bob, we do have a listener in the chat room that said healing the wounds of his childhood was the most powerful work he has done. And he asks, where does he send his personal story? Where can he send it? And Sandy as well.
Oh, well, thank you. That's actually wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm so happy. This is great. Very humbled by your listeners wanting to incorporate and to join us. What they can do is they can reach us at fwordproject.com, and there's a link where they can contact us and leave their story. They can also reach us on Instagram under fwordproject, at fwordproject, and go ahead and DM us their name and number. And we usually do our interviews via phone call, but there's times where we do it in person depending if we're in the area. And it takes about 10 minutes to about a half hour to interview, and I ask our participants to sign a waiver form allowing us to share their story globally, and for a photo. And we usually launch their stories about a week to 2 weeks in advance, later, just because of the way we're getting stories in, and we try to mesh them where it's not just all sexual assaults. But we are very proud. We're doing a series on the Holocaust, and I've interviewed Holocaust survivors. And on the week of the liberation of Auschwitz, which begins on January 27th, that whole week there will be no quotes. There'll be all stories from Holocaust survivors regarding their experiences with forgiveness.
Oh, wow.
Very
good. That's something I have a lot of definitely sensitivity to. And thank you for doing that. Yeah, definitely thank you for bringing that to folks' attention, because I think that is something. People are, unfortunately, I think, kind of forgetting often is, some of those, stories, of the, definitely the Holocaust and so forth. I definitely don't think that we've done as good of a job teaching history as we should. And, that's wonderful that you're sharing those kind of stories, because that also, in hopes that, we'll be wise not to allow history to repeat itself at any point. And that's so that serves a great purpose. Yeah. So thank you for doing that. And RG, I know Daniel and I have been kind of hogging the questions here, but yeah, I feel dive
no.
in here. And, you have something you want to talk
as much
to.
As I can. This is so interesting, so fascinating. Such a powerful journey that you're sharing with people, and I'm trying to soak it all in.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I did kind of have a thought. I've had many thoughts, but as far as like a lot, I've seen a lot of people in the creative arena that have trouble putting that kind of painful honesty into their creativity, whether it's acting, writing, song, singing, performance. you know, whatever it is. How does that fit into what you do? What words of comfort or encouragement would you give to a creative person who is trying to take steps towards the journey of forgiveness?
I think the beginning of it is you have to ask yourself the difficult questions, and sometimes the difficult questions are extremely hard to swallow. And one of the difficult questions is, do I really want to heal? Do I really want to move on? Because sometimes, as victims, we can begin to identify with our hurt and our pain, and it becomes a part of us. And it should never become a part of us, but sometimes we've incorporated it into our lives so much that it becomes who we are, and that's who we identify with. And when you're willing to get past the hurt and the pain, we have to kind of give up part of that persona, and that's really difficult to do. Because I didn't want to be known as Denitza Borges, the incest survivor, because that's not who I am. I'm Denitza Borges, a person who experienced incest, but that was just a small chapter in my journey. It's a small chapter in my book. It's not the entire book. And I'm excited to see what that entire book reads like. That was just a small portion of my life that I chose to share with the world. And I think part of the healing process was to write it down on paper, to see it. Not only I felt it, but I had to see it from the outside looking in. And I think that was extremely therapeutic for me.
Yeah.
And Denitza, I think we have a phone call, and this is an international phone call, so I hope the connection is a good one. But this is one of the folks in our chat room, Bob, I believe. Bob, you are live. Got you on the air.
Good day, and thank you. And how are you reading me?
I can hear you fine, Bob. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, this is such a beautiful topic and such an important topic. How can I put it? Yeah, as I said in my post, you know, healing the wounds of my childhood has been the most powerful work I've ever done. And suffering from depression from 84 for about 20 years and healing myself of that, I've come to the conclusion that for Western society, we're all victims of victims. And if you don't hand it back, you pass it on. By going back and healing the wounds of my childhood, I got to this state where, in my own journey, I hated my mum because she was always beating me, but you've got to love your mum because you've only got one mum. And it was that dichotomy that was tearing my soul apart. So I wrote a letter to mum saying, "Dear mum, just telling you my story of how I felt as a child growing up in our family, you know," and I just started writing, and I thought it was two or three pages, but it ended up like War and Peace. You know, I hated it when you beat me with the tongs from the boiler. I hated it when you dangled me by my wrist and beat me with a carpet sweeper, and, you know, I just got it all out, and it was huge. And then I actually posted it back to mum in the UK, and that was one of the hardest things I'd ever done. And eventually I got a letter back from mum saying, "Oh, Bobby, you must think I'm diverse mother into the whole world, but I was only doing my best." And so I wrote back again to mum and said, "Mum, this is not about blame. This is just about sharing my story. Tell me your story." So eventually she wrote back. And she was born in 1924 in Germany between the wars. Her dad was an alcoholic and mum was a control freak. Her cousins were blue-eyed, blonde-haired Aryans, and if they didn't join the SS, they got shot. So I came to realize that she had had a shit childhood too. You know, she'd had a really abusive childhood. And then the light bulb went off. You know, in my childhood, mum was just dumping on me what got dumped on her. So through that understanding, I could move from hate back to a position of love. And then I phoned mum in England, and I'm in Australia, and she was suffering from a second bout of bowel cancer. So I got through to her in hospital, St. John's Hospital in Newbury in Berkshire. And that was the first time we actually spoke as mother and son, adult to adult. And it was a beautiful conversation, and with tears, you know, both sides of the pond, a day later she died. And what a beautiful closure. And then I'm walking around like somebody's taking an elephant off my shoulders, you know, because I'd handed all this crap back, and I didn't deserve to be treated like that. And I'd come back to a position of love. But I'm walking around, and there's still a niggle in my shoulders. I've got this niggle there. What's this niggle? I said to myself. Right, Dad, you bastard. So I got the notepad out and wrote a letter to Dad saying, you know, why didn't you come to school sports days? Why didn't you ever do any, you know, father and son things to me? You know, you were never there for me. Therefore, you did not love me. Therefore, I'm unlovable. And it's, so I just put it in an envelope and wrote to Dad in heaven and burnt it. But that was how I got closure from the abuse that was dumped on me as a child. And it was a painful process, but, you know, the only distress I carry now is my own wrongdoings that I've generated throughout my life, and I'm doing my best to redress those. So thanks so much for taking my call, and I'd love to share my story. And a book is in the offing. I've finally got a title for it, and it's called The Gift of Depression, My Little Scrapbook. So thank you so much for sharing your time and attention. And the more people that share their story, you know, because it was taboo, you know, you can't speak about your abuser, but the truth will out. And this is the age of integrity.
Right.
The truth will come out. It has to come out. And through sharing our truth and our stories, we help to heal each other. That is my belief. So thank you very much, people. Love you all.
Thank you.
Take care, Bob.
Wow. Thank you, Bob. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much, Bob. And, yeah, what's your thoughts on Bob's call there, Danica?
You know, he's come full circle, and not only has he come full circle in being able to forgive his mom, which I love the way he said mom, I love that, but his mom and dad, but he's also being responsible and taking the initiative to seek out forgiveness for his wrongdoings, because we're all a product of where we came from and how we learned how to love and how we didn't learn how to love. And we don't want to keep spewing out our toxicities and our hurt and our anger and our pain to others when we really need to heal and address what's hurting us. It's so important. Forgiveness is a process on an everyday level. And we make choices. And sometimes our choices have detrimental consequences, and we have to apologize for them. And we also have to seek out apology.
Mm-hmm.
It's a two-way street.
Yep. Definitely appreciate that call. Yeah, I see in the chat room. Yeah, they've got a couple thank yous to Bob for sharing his story on there. And, we do still have some time, too, so. Yeah, feel free to call in if anybody would also like to share a story or talk with Denise at 619-639-4616. So, and, definitely, Bob, make sure you get in touch with Denise after the show and through the website. And, I noticed that your book, I think, was published in, when I looked it up, was 2017. And was it kind of a catalyzer for the F Word Project, or did you already have the project in mind before the book, or is it kind of an outgrowth of the book?
I think it was an outgrowth of the book. I knew I wanted to talk about forgiveness because I knew that, you know, forgiveness is a hard skill to learn. And most people try not to be forgiving. It's so sad, but we live in a world where we don't really speak much about forgiveness, so it's more of a foreign term than something that we're so comfortable with. And I realized that when I was going to different speaking engagements, that when I told the audience that I had forgiven, they were really shocked. they wanted me to be angry still, or they wanted me to cause hurt and carry out this toxicity, and I just couldn't. And there were several speaking engagements where I had an audience member somewhat upset with me because I had forgiven my brother. And it was a learning process, and out of those conversations, the F Word Project was born, because I knew that I wasn't just the only one who could bring forgiveness out there to the masses, that other people had forgiven, and I honestly thought that, again, back to the language, it's a language, and we need to practice. I think that many of us, because we don't recognize forgiveness, because it's not incorporated into our daily lives, that when people are trying to say they're sorry or trying to extend the olive branch, we don't recognize it. And so becoming fluent in forgiveness, not only are you learning how to recognize it, but you're also learning how to give it. And that's important.
Yeah, I think you've actually touched on something that really addresses today too. I think that unfortunately, I think a lot of people today, you know, definitely, you know, when they tend to get, there's definitely there's a lot of polarization going on in society right now, a lot of this and that. And I think that, you know, when people are, you know, in these kind of, you know, kind of combative phases, forgiveness is a very hard thing to do. And yeah, it's not, yeah, like you said, this is not an easy process. And definitely I'd like you to comment a little bit about maybe some, you know, baby steps or things that can help people get to the point of, you know, forgiveness as opposed to, you know, being consumed by anger. What are some initial steps in the right direction to get to the place where you can forgive? What's your advice on that?
I think it's who you're forgiving is different plans of action. Okay, I'll take an example. You can use me as the example, a guinea pig. I was on the phone. I looked down at my phone thinking I was going to switch stations and just hit a button on my phone to switch the station from the Bluetooth. And a gentleman was right next to me, and he starts yelling and screaming at me to put my phone down. But I really wasn't texting. I was just hitting the button to switch the songs. That's all I did, and we were at a stop sign. And we're driving, and he proceeds to cut me off. And now he's swerving back and forth to cut me off. And I just thought, wow, this person's really, really angry with me. And I can go ahead and get up next to him, and I can lash out, and I can yell and scream back to him, or I can own it. And owning it would be like, I'm going to roll my window down, and I'm going to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry what it appeared to look like. I wasn't texting. I'm sorry if it appeared that way. Because I'm thinking, for him to be that angry for what I was doing, something triggered that. I triggered something in that individual. And I don't want him driving down the street, going home, being upset for the rest of the evening, maybe yelling and screaming at his children or his wife, and being agitated the rest of the night. I have an obligation to remedy the situation. So not only do I have to look at what I did and did not do, but how can I make his evening better? It's not just always about us. It's sometimes we have to step out of ourselves and make somebody else's life better. And I think that's the hardest part about forgiveness, is we think we're letting people off the hook. We're really not. We're letting ourselves off the hook, as well as making other people's lives better because of it. Because you're able to recognize your role. I could have driven off and said, no, I didn't do anything wrong, and let it be. But I had a role in this. For whatever reason, his perception of me triggered something. And I think every day we have a tendency to trigger people, all the time with the people we love. We agitate our spouses, our partners, our children, and we have a role to play to say, hey, wait a second, before you walk out that door, come here. I love you. I'm going to give you a hug. Mom and Dad loves you. Have a great day at school. Instead of letting that child go off to school and be agitated the rest of the day. You know, we have a responsibility as human beings to better that other person's life and not carry on that anger.
Mm-hmm. And like Bob commented here, he did leave another new comment in there. He said he found forgiving myself was the hardest, and I'm going to add into that. I think self-criticism and looking at the self sometimes is the hardest, and you know, mm-hmm. people sometimes recoil from doing that. I think, especially today, admitting, you know, even in situations where we have to admit we're wrong about something or you know, that kind of thing. I mean, it's definitely a area that I think is especially in the social media age. I think it's definitely something that's even gotten a little bit tougher. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think in the social media arena, you don't see people talking about how depressed they are most of the time. You're seeing, you know, celebrities, A-listers, what they have, what they own, putting on airs, what they're eating, what they can afford. And as the person viewing it, sometimes we can have a tendency to say, oh, well, we're less than self. We're not meeting expectations, so we become extremely critical. And when we become extremely critical, guess what? We're only going to blame ourselves. Well, you're not working hard enough. You're not doing this. You're not striving. You're not staying up all night to be that them. You're not as revealing as the girl that made the $1 million because she was topless or whatever it may be. And there's the self-criticism. And I think we just got to forgive our mentality that of being so judgmental and comparing ourselves to others, and forgive social media for putting us in this position, because the comparison and the judgmental on social media is off the charts. Mm-hmm. There's this constant comparison, and when you're doing that and you're constantly judging, there is no room for forgiveness in that capacity. It's only comparison and competition.
Have you figured out a way that we can get out of doing that?
Oh, wow. I wish I could. I think, yeah, I challenge, and I guess maybe I'm going back to the F-Word Project, but I get people from all walks of life, but I would challenge if there is a celebrity listening to your show tonight, which I hope there are plenty, because I think this is a worthwhile show, that they allow themselves to be vulnerable and reach out to our organization and say, okay, I made this mistake and this mistake, and yes, I may have the top of the line things, or I may look a certain way, or may earn a certain amount of money, but I too have made mistakes, and I too needed forgiveness, or I too gave forgiveness. And I think those are the values and the characteristics that we need to really pay attention to honesty and integrity and motivation and love and compassion. Show me that on social media, and I'll think we're going in the right direction.
But that's so hard.
I know. I know.
Yeah, no, I'm having a thought just now that, you know, especially talking about social media, people, and I put myself in this category as well, people want to be right before they want to be better, it seems like to me, and taking the step to step away from that and say, I choose to be better, I choose to forgive, you know, instead of lashing out and being, I don't know.
I'm in complete agreement, and you're right. People want to feel needed, and they want to feel loved, and they want to feel liked, and we're counting, mm-hmm. you know, all of our followers and how many people liked us and how many thumbs up and high fives we got. But I will tell you, if you can be forgiving and compassionate, those things will just come. Those things will just come. And when you can show integrity and love and compassion and do it on a platform where it doesn't even matter if people notice it or not, the self-love and the self-forgiveness you're giving yourself will benefit you 10 times over than you posting the latest dress or the latest cosmetics you're using on a social platform.
Yeah.
It all comes twofold. I can guarantee it. You show me someone who's compassionate out there and who is doing the work, and I always hope that when I meet someone, that when they leave me, they feel better about themselves. That to me is the biggest kudos. Not the latest Louis Vuitton bag or the latest car or the latest anything. If I can make someone feel better about themselves when they leave me, whoa, that's priceless.
Awesome.
And I am back. Sorry, folks. I got disconnected for a minute. Oh. And dropped. I got dropped. I don't know how. I am back. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. But I see
the one controlling the board gets dropped. All right.
Yeah, but I did catch that you were discussing some of the social media kind of dynamics of today, which of course you know everybody can relate to. And I do see a comment in the chat room that I think applies, I think really well. And I don't know if you've covered it. So like I said, if you have, just tell me. But Sandy was remarking that comparing oneself to others is a great way to get depressed and full of angst. And I think it's a good thing because social media almost drives everybody to compare themselves to everybody else, and it's just kind of like in the engine of the way social media is structured, and so that's definitely I think a pertinent topic to the conversation,
mm-hmm.
and it applies to artists and creative types especially, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the RG comment on that too. Yeah.
And hopefully we're kind of aging out of it, but it seems to me like, especially in the creative community, like we wallow in our angst. Like we love being tortured and just showing that, oh, I'm so tortured, I'm so depressed. Look at my black eyeliner and look at my, you know, and this, that. Oh, well, you're depressed? Well, I have depression and anxiety. You know, well, I'll top you an anxiety and a bipolar. You know, I mean, not to make light of it, but that's kind of, and I've had to face that in myself, that like, okay, I'm responsible for this, and I'm responsible for my body and my mind and my heart, and I have to start taking care of it, and I don't know, it's a huge part of it, I think.
No, I agree.
It really is, yes. Yes.
Daniel? What are your thoughts on that social media world there?
The social media world has I have a problem with it in a way because it allows too many people to know too much in a way. I don't think that we need to know every little thing about why somebody did something over the fact that they did it. Why did this person give $1 million to, the Amazon, or not the Amazon, but the Australian, fire? It doesn't matter why they did it. It's just that they did it. And people want to delve into, the reasons and rhymes and stuff, and everything that people have, we can sit there and look at ourselves and see all of our disappointments in ourselves. We don't need other people's greatness to help us show our own disappointments. We can do that well enough on our own without all that extra babble in the background of our ear. And I may be one of the few on this panel tonight that thinks that, but that's sort of the way I feel about it, is that I don't need to know why somebody did something. If it's a helpful thing, like the F Word Project, that is a helpful organization to help show people that this person got out of this. You can do it too. The same way, you know, AA and, you know, NA and all the rest of them, you know, are helpful organizations that can help you get out of whatever, you know, your addiction is or whatever, you know. And self-doubt and depression, different things like that, I consider as much of an addiction in some people's lives as alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't think that anybody ever has a life that is so grand and is so wonderful that they're never depressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a matter of how you react to it that matters. And, you know, the depression that I have personally on a regular basis, I don't tell anybody about really. Because in my world, what I grew up in, nobody cared anyway. You know, it wasn't somebody that cared whether you were depressed or not. Yeah, you know, I don't care. Get, you know, get your butt back to work or do, you know, do what you got to get done. You know, nowadays, you know, people can get, you know, handicap tags for their cars because they're depressed, when the rest of their body works fine. And, you know, those type things are where the world's turning to. It may be good, it may be bad. We will have yet to see, in my opinion. That's just a personal opinion from me.
Well, I think you brought up an interesting thing, Daniel, though, because in social media, and it ties to social media, is that I think a lot of people create a picture, or they're driven to create a picture or facade that everything is just grand. It's kind of like those, you know, yearly, you know, when you get like a yearly holiday card from somebody and it just reads glowingly, and it's like, you know, it reads as if the family that sent you had no problems whatsoever in the past year. And you know that's not true. And it's kind of like social media, I think, kind of work like that, and that you know, some people tend to put, you know, this, you know, they create like a representation of themselves that does not necessarily match up with the full reality of what they, you know, are and what they do and what they go through. And so I think that kind of force or dynamic, and, you know, is, you know, kind of ties into that angst and so forth that Sandy and RG were talking about. And, you know, and that's, you know, I think that's that also, you know, ties into what Danita's talking about with, you know, the, you know, why it's so hard to, you know, get to points of self-introspection to get to that forgiveness stage. I hope that makes sense, but that's just my candid thought on that.
Well, and also the measure of honesty. I mean, I think, you know, kind of touching on what you said, Daniel, I think the very fact that more people are talking about depression, you know, and that it's become part of our nomenclature in society is a huge step, you know, because it used to be that it's, you know, that was just something you didn't talk about. That was a weakness, and, you know, well, Uncle Bob's going through one of his spells again, you know, that kind of thing. Like, it just wasn't something that was talked about, and it was a shameful topic. And now it's less so. I mean, we still have a long way to go, but it's less so shameful for people to talk about and to be honest about that with each other. And in that way, we help each other because, you know, like you said, you don't feel as alone with that pain that you're carrying around.
Right.
It's funny you touched on that, because, you know, how many times a day do we hear people say, oh, I was so mad at her, or I was so mad at him, or I was really, really angry. But you don't hear people say, you know, she upset me, but I really forgave her. Or
yes.
He did something wrong to me, but I forgave him. If you were to, I challenge all of you that in the next couple of days, you say that. wherever you're at, like, oh gosh, or she really upset me or made me angry or whatever it may be. Somebody got under your skin or something happened, but I forgave them. People would look at you like you're like you've lost your mind. They'd be in shock. Because most people won't say that. They'll hold on to the anger. They'll hold on to how they were done wrong or mistreated, instead of saying, oh, you know, it really didn't mean that much to me and I moved on from that, or I let it go. It's really not going to affect the rest of my day or my week or my year.
I have gotten to the age that what somebody else does doesn't affect my day anyway, so.
Right.
I'm like, whatever.
That's great.
Have a nice day. Thank you.
Oh, man. So does anybody have any questions in the chat room? I want to make sure we get all questions in here. I'm just looking for it right now. I think we've covered them. I think we are up to speed. So as far as I want to make sure we got about 19 minutes left. So one thing we do like to cover on the show is live appearances. If you have some stuff scheduled coming up that you wanted to mention. So what do you have, Denise, as far as anything, whether it's book appearances or speaking engagements, anything like that? What do you have coming up?
Well, we're doing our special series on the Upward Project for the Holocaust, which is the week of the 27th. So I'll be doing that. There's also a performance for the Violins of Hope, and that's the violins that were used in the concentration camps and were used by musicians, whether to entertain the Nazi soldiers or to be played while certain Jewish people were being escorted into the crematoriums. And what ended up occurring is many of these violins were going to be destroyed, and an amazing person in Israel got their hands on it, restored them, and now they're called the Violins of Hope. And each violin has its own personal story, whether who it belonged to, whether it be a Holocaust victim, the music behind it, what that violin was used for during that time period. So that's going to be happening in March, and we're hoping to get stories from either the players or people who are involved with those violins. I'm trying to liaison with certain schools to talk about bullying and forgiveness of the person who bullied, as well as forgiveness for the person for bullying. And so we're trying to incorporate that within schools, and we're trying to come up with other different series. So we're really, really looking forward to that. The month of April is Sexual Assault Month, so it looks like I'll be having some speaking engagements at local universities as well as local high schools. So excited about what's coming up in the near future.
Nice. And please drop us some notes. When it gets closer, we'll definitely want to share that on our channels. For you. When that gets a little bit nearer, so we'd love to share for you on that. And let's see, what else would you? I'm trying to think just to make sure that we have covered everything. What else have we not covered that you would like to tonight?
Well, it's a little bit off topic, but it is something fun that I'm also doing. Is I just launched, it's called Donitza After Dark, and it's a sexuality show that's on iHub Radio, and it's on Saturday nights from 8 to 10, and we talk about sexuality in all of its general forms. And it's a light take on a very controversial topic, because sex can be somewhat controversial and entertaining and funny, and we try to take a humorous approach to it. There are some serious guests on there, as well as we've had guests from all types of life in the sex industry. So it's been an interesting topic, because I didn't want to make human sexuality very negative. I wanted to keep it light, and it's kind of like my take on Dr. Ruth. So I thought I'd follow in really good footsteps.
Well, we have a lot of romance and erotica authors that tend to listen to the show. So I think
they
might really get a kick out of that, sounds like.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun doing it. And and it's a two-hour show. We have guests on, and we've had some really humorous guests, and my producer and I have a push-pull relationship in regards to what we think is funny and how she doesn't think what I think is funny about human sexuality. But it's been extremely entertaining, and we just launched that about 2 months ago. So that's been fun. So been doing there's a lot on the plate, and I foresee in the future to have somewhat of a forgiveness journal that's incorporated with the Left Vulnerable Project, so people can start healing and we can take the necessary steps in learning how to heal.
Absolutely. And yeah, and definitely I'm going to have to check out the podcast. It does sound like a lot of fun to listen to, for sure. I'm going to have to, where can you catch that? Where are you hosting it at?
It's we're out of Palm Springs, but it's under iHub Radio, IHUB.radio, and it's called Danitza After Dark. And it's on Saturday nights from 8 to 10, and it reruns on Sundays at the same time from 8 to 10.
All right. Yeah, well, I hope everybody got that, because that does sound like a lot of fun. I know a lot of our writers might get a really enjoy that quite a bit, and filmmakers and screenwriters, yeah, for sure. Because most of our audience tend to be a lot of creatives here. So yeah, I know they definitely will enjoy that topic quite a bit. Yeah, they definitely have a very imaginative group for sure. So yeah, that'd be sounds like a lot of fun, but. Well, awesome. And as far as the book too, I want to make sure, you know, before we get to the end of the show, that as finding the book, you've got it in print and ebook formats, and where do you want people to go to pick up a copy of Left Vulnerable?
It's on Amazon.com, and you can get it within a couple of days, very reasonably priced. Informative. It's a good. It's a easy read, and it's a short read, because I like, you know, shorter is better for me. And so, but it's very informative, and I think it's a book that, if everything aligned and the stars aligned, I think it's a book that every young girl should read, because at some point in their life they may find themselves in a situation where they may be in contact with somebody who could sexually assault them. And I think that whether it's in their childhood or in adulthood, I just think it's a good female read. And I also believe it's a good male read as well, because I don't want to take away from the fact that men do also get sexually molested and raped.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you this too, as far as like for guardians, parents, people like that, is it a good read for helping identify, you know, sensing if something is happening that maybe the young one is not talking about? Does it help maybe from that perspective to sense if something's happening, that maybe, you know, you can step forward and try to see if, you know, something is going on? How would you recommend it for that group as well?
I would recommend it for teachers and parents, grandparents. It's actually a good read, just because there's certain aspects of the book that you wouldn't understand unless you were actually reading it. Little nuances that maybe teachers would have picked up on that didn't. Little nuances that my coaches would have picked up on that didn't. Things that I tried to hide to make it to make my life much more normal, and to be able to keep, you know, the secret hidden. I think this book is a telling tale. If anything, the feedback that's on Amazon has been 5 stars, and the testimonials and reviews have been amazing. And I'm extremely humbled and gracious to the people who have read my book and have given it a good review. I think it's been helpful to many people, and I hope and I encourage people to pick it up and give it a good read.
Yep. And yeah, you've got some wonderful reviews too, I might add. I did have a chance to see some of your reviews. I think you had a solid 5-star rating across the board on Amazon, for instance. So that's congrats on that, because as speaking as an author myself, that is not easy. So well done. Well done as a writer.
Thank
yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Yeah, that's definitely not an easy thing these days. And folks, if you do pick it up, yeah, reviews are important for today's writers. They definitely help out. And so, yeah, definitely leave your thoughts on Denise's book, because I'm having a feeling that more than a few of you are going to be picking up the new book in the next day or so. So, yeah, definitely help her out with that. And all right. And how do folks connect with you as far as the Instagram account and any other social media for like the F Word Project or you personally? What are your main channels?
My main channels are www.fwordproject.com. It's also on Instagram. You can DM me on Instagram at the same at fwordproject.com. We're also on Twitter and we're also on Facebook. I have no problem giving out my phone number because it's printed anywhere. Our number is 760-880-8111. And if they just drop me down a line, I'd love to invite Bob to share his story with me. I think it'd be extremely compelling to have that type of story from a mother-son perspective. I think there's many other young men who have gone through the same thing with their mom, and I think they need to hear him as well. So I would love to invite him to participate, and hopefully he reaches out to our organization. That would be great. And as well as any other of your audience members or other people you may know, I think it's imperative that people know that you have that forgiveness DNA in your system, and that you're willing to forgive or willing to go at least through the process or have been forgiven. And so the more we talk about it, maybe the more we'll do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I definitely think your message will resonate definitely with our listeners for sure. And the creatives. I mean, yeah, like I said, opening up another 3-hour discussion. I mean, yeah, we're definitely sensitive to, anything involving, the mental health fields and things of that nature. So I think that, definitely folks are going to definitely follow up on this, and hopefully we'll get some more stories sent in here in the next few days.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm extremely thankful and humbled for your invitation to be on your show. I am so grateful for the opportunity to have been speaking to all of you this evening. I am extremely grateful.
Yeah, absolutely. And Daniel and RG, is there anything else you wanted to cover with Danita before we wrap the show up tonight?
Well, it's been incredible just listening to everything and absorbing all of the stories that we're hearing. I think you're doing a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay.
Yes. Wait for Archie. I thought that didn't know you were done.
All of a sudden it just dropped out. I was like, it went silent. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah. I was like, no, not again. My phone didn't go out again. But Daniel. I know you're gonna check out her podcast for sure, Mr. Horotica author. I know you're gonna enjoy that.
And if you ever want somebody to be on the podcast that can talk about, weird stuff. I have no problem
definitely.
With that.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I may just take you up on that. We'd love to have weird stuff guests on our show on Denise After Dark. We would appreciate that very much.
Yeah. Well, his hashtag is Dark Style, and then his what I said, Horrorotica, and that is Horror. Just to be clear, what I'm saying there. Yeah, Horrorotica. Yeah, he's got his own niche genre that he's kind of founded.
Oh my goodness.
he'd be an interesting one. Yeah, for sure.
And I write from the pain, so that's what I do. So,
you definitely would have fun with Daniel on your show. I'm sure. I'm absolutely sure.
I'm gonna make sure that my I'll have to please reach out to me, Daniel, and I'll make sure that our producers
I've already put a message out to you about stories and stuff. So.
Oh,
yeah.
That's wonderful.
You'll find that in your box at Death Work. So, but one of the things that I have been questioning the whole time that we've been talking, has your brother forgiven you?
I think he did. I think he did. I want to say he did. Thank you for asking that. Thank you. Because I played a role too. I know I did. So thank you for asking that, because I think that was that question. Yes.
It's not really that you played a role, but a lot of times the victim is given the blame.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering whether he actually had forgiven you on that, because there's always that secondary blame that's normally given to the victim, and a lot of people don't realize that, on how much blame is handed over to the victim. And that happens in
rape
cases and different things like that all the time.
Right. No, I completely agree. I think my brother forgave me because a part of him saw that the strength that I have is really due to him. And seeing me is a very strong reflection of seeing himself. And so I pray that he did forgive me as well as himself for all of this.
Very good. Very good. But
all right.
Leave it on that happy note there.
It is a happy note, I promise you. It really is.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, Danita, is there anything else that you'd like to state? And otherwise, we'll go ahead and wrap this one up.
Well, no, just again, thank you very much. I'm humbled to be on your show, and I feel like I've met some more tribe members. I'm extremely thankful for allotting this time for me to speak and to talk about my book and the projects that I'm doing. And I hope all of you send in your stories, because I would really love to have all of you participate in this project, and I thank you for your involvement.
Wonderful, and that's at fwordproject.com, fwordproject.com. So, yeah, definitely go to the site. Contact is on the right top of the menu, and definitely get a hold of Danita, and, reach out, and if you've got some stories to share. And
also,
that being
also
said,
in the context, you can get to every one of the Facebook, mm-hmm. Instagram, Twitter, and all that is just a click away.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And thank you very much for listening tonight. We've had a great discussion, wonderful call-in from Bob, great participation from the chat room, And yeah, just been a wonderful show, and really appreciate you having you, Denny. It's a special thanks to Sally and Monty for introducing us to you. And hopefully this, you know, we definitely want to have you back at some point to update us on everything with the F-Word Project and all of your activities for sure. And so this is, yeah, this is just the first of our involvement and support and connection with you. So we're very excited and appreciate you having you on the show, Denita.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a wonderful evening, and thank you again.
All
thank
right. I will sign off, and then I'll let RG and Daniel sign off. But this is Steven Zimmer. Thank you for listening to Star Chamber Show every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern. Show by creatives for creatives. And signing off with Steven, turning it over to RG and Daniel to say goodnight.
Thanks for having me. Good night.
And until next week, you'll find us here again.